I feel like my best quality is that I believe I can get better at things. No matter what, I think if I try this, if I dedicate myself to this, I can get better at it.
Hey there. Welcome to Lessons in Creativity, where we'll explore the creative process across different disciplines and learn how to harness this natural part of our human experience. I'm Jenna Massey, your fellow student and host. This episode is with Allie Moss. Allie is a singer-songwriter whose songs have been featured on TV shows like Bones, Pretty Little Liars, and Parenthood. She has released several albums and EPs and toured the country for her own music and is a member of the Ingrid Michaelson Band. In our conversation, you'll hear Allie talk about how she got interested in songwriting, how she turned her own struggle with writer's block into creating the Thinking Outside the Blocks community with Bess Rogers, and the behind the scenes of several of her songs and creative process. I personally have been a member of the Thinking Outside the Blocks community for the last year or so, and it has been so helpful to me in my own growth. I hope you enjoy. Welcome, Allie. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited about this interview.
Thank you for having me on. I'm excited too.
I usually like to start asking about childhood and what prompted your interest in creativity, in this case in music. I have listened to a couple of other podcasts that you've done and heard you talk about your experience as an athlete and getting injured and how that accelerated your move into music. And for you, one thing I'm really curious about is so many of your songs are so introspective. So I'm curious, did the introspection start and the focus in music follow, or was it the music first and then the introspection that followed as you think about songwriting?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think I've always been introspective to some degree and notice people. I'm a people person, and relationships and people are interesting to me and matter to me. So that was there from a very early age. But otherwise, I just liked singing. I sang from a very young age. My first live performance, I was four or five. And then I had a lot of stage fright in the tween years. But I think songwriting gave me an avenue as a teenager to express that introspection in a way that felt safe. I actually just found a photo of a journal from when I was probably like 12 or 13. And it was one of those journals you like fill in. And it was like, something people don't know about me is.
What did you say?
I wrote, I am weird, exclamation point. But something about, I'm not going to write my secrets here for any stupid snot to read. So it was like already, here I am 13, I'm like guarding what I write in this private journal, like thinking that someone's going to judge me or read it. But yes, I've been weird my whole life, apparently.
Where did that interest in people and introspection come from?
I mean, maybe just innately. My dad is a pastor.
Oh, wow.
And both my parents are people. Growing up, I think we had something like 30 people live with us at some point. My house was like a open door, like people stop by, the neighborhood kids come get a snack there. It's just a very hospitality focused home. And so you got to see a lot of relationship stuff. And I think it comes from a place of curiosity.
Wow, that's so interesting. Knowing you, it makes so much sense. Yeah. So at what point then did you start to take on the greater focus in songwriting and commitment to it?
I was in bands starting from around like 16, 17, but usually as the lead singer, maybe lyricist, top lining sort of what the band would write. I was playing guitar all along, but I never felt confident really enough to bring my songs to the band. And the other thing is, you have to remember, this was the 90s. So there was no like YouTube to learn guitar or voice or anything. It was from books and from anyone I could meet that would teach me something about the guitar. So for a long time, I feel like I wrote on and off in like little spurts, and it was fun. It was an outlet. But I really identified as like a lead singer more than a songwriter. I started playing open mics. I really wish early on someone would have said, you have a really nice voice, but your songs don't make any sense. Even though I was introspective, I was always guarding around what I really wanted to say.
Interesting.
So it was in my early 20s when I like quit the bands and started focusing on being a singer-songwriter and was like going to open mics in New York City and Brooklyn and meeting other singer-songwriters that I thought, and meeting Ingrid and meeting Bess Rogers and meeting Jenny Owen Youngs and meeting Jenny O. And there was, you know, Andrew Fruchall. There was like this singer-songwriter world. And I was like, ooh, they have something I don't. They have craft to these songs. They don't just sound pretty. Like, I like what they're saying. I like how they're saying it. They're really skilled. And I wanted to be that too. So I just weaseled my way into their world. Just kidding. I did organically become friends with some of them. And over time, I feel like I really identified as a songwriter. I can't say it was one particular moment.
How did you get over that guarded feeling and work through that?
Probably co-writing. Because in a co-writing situation, A, people are going to ask you more questions about what's going on with you. If it feels safe in that small space, you can, you know, trust the people you're working with. And then they were vulnerable. And so I started to just test those waters. And it felt really good. And not surprisingly, the songs that were the scariest for me to share were the ones that people connected to a lot.
It's like you saw these people who were doing this and you wanted to be more like them and spent more time around them and started to get there and work through.
Yeah, for sure. And therapy also helped. Talk therapy.
Yeah.
I think it went alongside just learning to get comfortable in my feelings in life.
Yeah.
Allowed me to do that also in song.
What about the different settings that you're sharing music in? Because I think, you know, you mentioned like a co-writing room, but then you're also in different open mic settings. And then it's a whole other thing to release a song publicly. How did you, especially when you were early on, how did you navigate those different environments? Did you find, oh, in certain settings I'm much more likely to share and others not so much?
That's a good question. I think when it was a blur. It like all happened simultaneously and bled into each other. When I wrote a song with Bess and it felt good and cathartic to say the things I was afraid to, then I wanted to play that song at the open mic. And then if I would get a good feedback response from even one single person, it would be encouraging me to go back into my writing process and share more and be more authentic and more open in what I was saying. So it just all happened. And I don't know that it was ever like easy. If you felt like someone in the crowd knows me, that's the hardest part. They're going to know who I'm talking about in this song or whatever. Or they're going to think this about me or that about me. So those were the environments. Like my mom being like, sorry, mom. My mom being like, play us a song. And you being like, oh gosh, it's just family. Like you're all going to think I'm depressed or whatever.
That really resonates because I think strangers can be a lot easier to share with or to play for or be more authentic or vulnerable with versus, yeah, people that you think might see you in a certain way or that you have a perception of the way that they see you.
Yeah. You can, you know, I think the idea in the writing room too, that everything you write has to be performed or shared, I let go of that idea. Like some songs can just be for me to process the thing. And so if I stop worrying about someone hearing it, I can get it on the page and later decide if I want to share it or not.
Yeah, I love that. We're already getting into some great stuff. I love it. I would love to talk to you about Thinking Outside the Blocks and how this community started. I'd love to hear the story of that.
Sure. So I released an album in 2011. I toured that for a year and a half. I toured with Ingrid a lot at the time. And then I had this break where Ingrid was recording and I was meant to be writing more. but I was dealing with a really painful hip injury that just took a lot of my psychic energy. And I wasn't writing. And the longer I didn't write, the more I felt like I'm never going to write anything ever again. And then to compound that, I got separated from my ex-husband. And so that was a whole other psychological and emotional thing. And I just didn't write. I wrote 1.5 songs in 2 years. When I'm meant to be like writing so that I can, and recording so that I can release another album. And there were some other like relationship stuff, business relationship stuff that was causing me stress too. So in the end, Bess was like, well, why don't we just write together? I'll help you basically get through, help you finish the half a song and get over that hump. And she did. And we wrote a few songs together. Some of them were cathartic, processing my divorce. And I was like, in motion. I felt that momentum again. And I had never really collaborated that much before then. I'd gone, my experience with co-writing was minimal. And then I explored that more. Like I went to Nashville, I did a bunch of co-writes there. I just wrote with a lot of different people and I wrote and wrote more songs. And then there came a time where I basically was like, I wish I could pass this on to people. I was really in this very stuck. Now I sort of have different beliefs about writer's block, but at the time I would have said, I have writer's block. I can't write anything. And I wasn't writing anything. And then now I felt such momentum and I felt such connection to my creativity. I was like, I want to be able to pass this on. So I came up with this idea of a one-time workshop where I basically was going to share the three tools that I thought had helped me get out of that and continue to be connected to my creativity. And Bess was such a big part of it. I asked her to be part of this workshop with me. We're also very yin and yang in a lot of ways, like our strengths and weaknesses. And so she helped me. She's a great writer, copywriter as well. So we put together this workshop called Thinking Outside the Blocks. And it was just punny. It was a way to talk through some steps that you could take to get unblocked and stay unblocked in your songwriting. Then we ended up doing some immersive workshops where we put this into practice. We did some in person in Nashville. We did some with some high schoolers. We did some virtually. And we would basically just do that seasonally 2 or 3 times a year. And then the pandemic hit and we decided to do a weekly free community class. And that just grew our community from being random participants to what felt like a communal gathering of people who were seeing the same faces again and again. But yeah, Thinking Outside the Blocks is a pun. It's about writer's block and it really changed things. I have something to offer, but how do I share this basically?
Yeah.
And it's so rewarding to help someone go from feeling stuck. And most of the time, the things that make us stuck are our mindset, our, you know, limiting beliefs that we just haven't really realized. And they're emotional and mental, and sometimes they're practical. But that's basically what Thinking Outside the Blocks is still based around.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm a part of it and love it. It's just this wonderful space that you guys do such a good job of curating and making it a vulnerable an accepting place, and people are open and sharing their struggles. And
thank you for saying that.
Yeah. And I think that's a really hard environment to create. And I'm curious for you, how have you worked at making that a space where people feel willing and open and safe enough to share?
I am grateful. I feel like we've attracted the type of person who's ready. And that is a little piece of it. I feel like in order to grow in this way, you have to have a degree of self-reflection that I can't make anyone want to think about. They have to be at a place in their journey with their creativity that they want to pause and think about it. But the main thing is that I think that I show up and am vulnerable with you.
Yeah.
I practice right alongside you. So yes, Bess and I create the prompts and I organize everything, but I'm a member of Thinking Outside the Blocks too. So I think I can just show you like, look, I wrote this song. I think it's dumb. Here it is. But I wrote something. Or this week, I think over time, you see, like, sometimes I've had songs come, like, really fast and easily. But most of the time for me, songwriting's work. And I'm the kind of writer, if I feel like if I didn't set down intentionally to write, I would never write. Because it wouldn't, like, just hit me. And if it did hit me, I would be totally unprepared to capture that song. So, yeah, it's just like showing up with you, creating basically my dream environment that I want to be in.
Yeah. I mean, I think you modeling it makes such a difference. And to see your openness and sharing your ups and downs with the creative process as well is so helpful.
Thank you. I mean, and sometimes I had this again this last month. I just don't think we are the best judges of our own work.
Mm.
And this comes up, I teach voice as well, and I coach voice, and we tend to put our songs or our voice into binary boxes. This is a good song, a bad song. Ooh, I sound good, I sound bad.
Mm.
And something over time I've done with myself, my own voice, my own songs, and my clients is, can you identify what you like and what you don't like? Keep the stuff you like. There's something good in there. And then if you can say, oh, I just don't like how the chorus is repetitive. Okay, well, we can fix that. Then you can go back in and edit things. But if you just go, ugh, this sucks, and throw it in the trash, it doesn't help you get better. And like, I shared a song and I wasn't into it really. But it was fine enough to share. I finished something. But the reaction I got was very positive. And multiple people were moved by it emotionally. And I was like, oh, whoa, I was not expecting that. And then I realized what I didn't like was the form of the song. And someone, Allie D, had a suggestion for changing the form slightly. And then suddenly I was like, okay, I like this song. So that would not have happened if I was in my own bubble.
Yeah.
Of just writing this thing, throwing it in the trash, no one ever hearing it ever again. So I set up, I know what works for me, and I think it works for most people. And so I set up our environment to include those things, such as deadlines, accountability. I will show up for anything if I know someone's expecting me to show up. I said, we're going to go walking. I'm there. If I've paid for it, I will show up. And I will do that work so much more than if I just find it for free by myself. So when we have a challenge, it's like there's a deadline. I ask you to say you're going to do it. And then I'm going to tag you. I'm not going to shame you if something comes up and you don't write a song. But I just know if I say I'm going to write a song, like I feel this like slight good amount of pressure to show up for you guys. And I think it works because I write more.
Well, and you really take the pressure off by encouraging just do something. It doesn't have to be the best song you've ever written.
Yes, because we get better. I really believe we get better writing songs by writing songs. And so not all of them are going to be like hits or your favorite song or move you emotionally the same way. But you can get something out of it and it will push you along. You'll just get better and better. There's this Julia Tertian quote. She's a chef. And she says, the road to becoming a good cook is paved with repetition and the intuition you gain along the way. And so, yeah, you get better being cooked by cooking every day. Some meals are just edible. Occasionally you burn something. But most of the time, it's good enough to eat. And then over time, you realize like, oh, I can add some lemon to this. Or what if I swapped out tofu for the chicken? Whatever, you get more experimental. It's the same thing with writing songs. You don't even know what your habits are or your tendencies are as a songwriter if you only write 2 songs a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so applicable to everything in life.
I was just thinking, what else is it applicable to?
Everything, right? Anything that you are trying to get better at, you know? Mm. But it's, I think, being intentional with creating a practice.
Yes.
And building the habits and the systems into your routine.
Yes. It's like, have you read Atomic Habits by James Clear?
Yeah.
Yeah, he says like people fall to the level of their systems.
Right.
So that is like when I zoom out and examine what we do in thinking outside the box is yes, we set up these systems. So it's if you want, you can jump in and build a habit and do this with us every month. And it's not too much that you'll be overwhelmed and you can show up as yourself.
Yeah. What's been your biggest surprise in starting thinking outside the box?
My biggest surprise, I think that it would be so international and so multi-generational and multi-genre wise. I think we all fall under the singer-songwriter bubble, yeah, but there's people who are like super poppy and people who are 80s rock and people who are very folk, and I feel lucky that I can just basically try anything. That's the other sort of pressure that's taken off when you write a lot is that, yeah, I have my project, Ali Moss, and it has this particular sound, and I do want to write more songs that sound like that. But maybe for this month's song challenge, I'm going to write a jazz standard, or maybe I try writing a very pop punk song. I don't know. You know, like you can just take the pressure off to be perfect and to have every song be a keeper even.
Yeah, and to be tied to who you may have been in the past or what genre you may have been a part of. Yeah.
Yep.
I also love that it's such a unique and diverse group of people, and that like you would never be friends with people that are in such different places and life stages, and there's nothing like music that brings people together. So.
But it is really cool.
Yeah, for sure. Well, on that related note, I am curious about co-writing and how you see it differently from your individual process of writing. For me, I love co-writing because it just feels like you're getting to something so real when there's two people together. And having been lucky enough to co-write with you, you're so good at asking such pointed questions that just helps get to more of the message. So I'm curious what your experience has been and how you've developed that.
Cool, cool. Thank you for saying that, first of all. One of the steps, basically, in the Thinking Outside the Blocks masterclass is assessing yourself with kindness and honesty. And when I do that, I would say that being a good listener is one of my strengths. So in a co-writing situation, if we're writing for the other people, I think I thrive in that because it goes back to that relational stuff. Like I want to hear what they have to say. I want to pull out more from them. I feel like I can get anyone talking about themselves, even in like an elevator, you know, or something. And it feels like I have that, I can exercise that part of myself. And on the flip side, when I'm the artist, I feel like I can rely, or definitely early on, I would rely on the other people's musical skills because it would just further the song faster. They would know what chord to go to next, or they were just great at production. And before we knew it, the song sort of sounded like a song. So I really just love that ping pong of conversation. In co-writing, I have learned that also that staring at a blank piece of paper does not help me get my thoughts out, but talking them does.
Mm.
So I will often, if I'm talking about myself and the other person is paying attention, they might grab things that I say that I'm not conscious of. And I've brought that back, both of those things back into my solo writing, which is to ask myself questions when I get stuck. Sometimes I will even just talk into my phone and then listen back to it. It sounds so, maybe I'll go for a walk and talk to my phone.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like when I say it, I can get to the heart of what I mean. It's helped me to have more understanding for myself when I feel stuck in a solo write. The slight difference of solo writing is I think I like explore musically a little bit more. Like I will just let myself stay in a section and repeat it and sing it over and just sing jibber jabber. I do that in a co-write too. I feel pretty comfortable singing nonsense, but it's longer. And I might pause a lot more. I might just sit for 10 minutes and do it, come back to it the next day and go, is any of that useful? Yeah. And I think if I do that more before a co-write and come with like a piece of a anything that feels like this is really a deep thing I want to write about, or I really feel connected to this piece of music, that co-write usually goes smoother because I've already done a little bit of the digging myself.
I'm not surprised with the talking into your phone, because it's almost like you're operating from a different level, right? When you're really in the emotions and trying to get everything out versus a critical eye when you're asking more questions or prompting more or thinking about what is useful, or yeah, it's a different part of the brain that's operating.
That reminded me of one of my first really positive co-writing experiences, which was with my friend Rob Seals. Give him a plug. He runs Songwriting School of Los Angeles. If you live there, check it out, or virtually. But I attended a camp where he was leading a class, and we were meant to bring in a bunch of topics we wanted to write and about. And at some point, I raised my hand and asked, well, what if you have a concept, but you just don't know how to get it into lyric form? And he was like, well, tell me about it. And the concept I had was the image and a title called Prisoner of Hope. And the idea was that music in particular was something I kept trying to quit, but I just felt like I was chained to it. Like I was a prisoner of this hope. There was like a hope in it that, and I'd heard that title somewhere, but I related it to that relationship. But I just talked for a minute or two, and he wrote down things I said as I was doing that, and he slid the piece of paper across the table to me. He said, well, here, these are some lines that you just spoke aloud. Like, why don't you see if you can start there? And later that day, I found a little room that had a piano in it, and I just looked at the lyrics, and I wrote two verses, and I was like, wow. And then I brought them back to him, and he helped me finish the chorus. But that was like, oh, I said those things. They came from me. You know, he was just like good at hearing what I had to say, and somehow saying it out loud helped me formulate what I was trying to say. But I held that title for 10 years.
Wow.
It says, look up, reach out your head. You can't see anything new till you change where you stand.
One of my other questions I wanted to ask about was your partnership with Bess, because in relating to co-writing as well as thinking outside the blocks, it feels so special just to have a partner that you're able to write with and able to run your business with and have that relationship evolve over the years. And you said that you have complementary skill sets, so I want to hear that. And then I'm curious also just how it's evolved over time.
Well, Bess is the best. Bess Rogers is the best. She and I met playing in Ingrid Michaelson's band and pretty much went on the road together the next whole year. So we became fast friends. Bess is very funny, very witty and fast with her humor. She's so creative, such a good, like a skilled musician. She has her master's degree in composition from SUNY Purchase. So when I met her, yeah, she was just a really good songwriter. So we just became friends, you know, and then we started writing together, and then we started doing these workshops together. And if we're looking at like types of songwriters, Bess is the kind of person who starts a song easily and always finish it and doesn't really love the details as much. I am someone who has to struggle to figure out what I'm writing about and start something. But I love the details and I love the finesse and I love the editing process. So that in and of itself goes really well together. She obviously has so much like theory and composition, and she's an assistant professor at MTSU now for the last couple of years. She's just a really good educator, and she had taught guitar. And then I teach voice and have a lot of experience with that side of things and helping people coach know how they want their voice to sound, their artistic style. And so in the beginning of TOTB, she just had a lot of ideas for it. And she's less afraid of risk than me. I feel like, you know, she pushed the ideas along and then I would do the administrative part and make sure things ran smoothly. And over time, I think we both did both things because we had to learn how to fill in. So we've both gotten better at that. But I think it's just really nice when you can just honestly trust someone.
Yeah. It's really special.
Yeah. One of the things that Bess has always brought into sessions that I love is humor. Like when I was going through my divorce, she was like, tell me more about your sadness. And that became a thing we would say when we're trying to get each other to talk. But she said it in a way that was super funny and lighthearted and made me laugh. There's a good rapport. We write faster maybe now.
Well, I imagine if you have a level of trust established with someone as a co-writer, it helps accelerate a lot of that and get to a deeper place.
Yeah, I think that co-writing is like dating, so or relationships in the sense that sometimes you meet someone and there's an instant chemistry. Other times you meet someone and there's an instant chemistry. This is not a great match. We're just going to finish this meal and then we can go our separate ways. And then other times it just takes built time to build trust or build connection. So I have many friends who are like full-time songwriters and they will write 5 days a week and they love it. I love collaborating, but to me there's, as much as I love the people thing, that takes an effort, is draining in a different way to meet new people. To get comfortable in a room with new people. And so I like to occasionally blind date co-write with a new person, but I love building relationships with people. I realize like, oh, we are a good match. And I go back to them to write again and again with those same people because I know we're starting from a level of comfort from the moment. And then you know their tendencies and what they're good at. And so you might have an idea and you bookmark it in your mind like, oh, I'm saving that for when I write with so-and-so. I know that'll be good. But for me, when I tried to do it a lot all the time, I ran out of steam, not because of creative steam, but it just like, I'm an ambivert. You know what I mean? I'm not quite an introvert. I'm not quite an extrovert. I like both, but too much extroverted conversation drains me. So I need the balance more.
Good awareness.
I'm all about it.
Yeah. Okay. That brought this next question to mind. I feel like so much of your life is structured around giving to others with your music that you write, the messages that are in them, the community, the coaching, voice lessons, and things like that. And I'm curious, did you intentionally structure your life in this way, knowing that about yourself? And also hearing that your dad was a pastor makes a lot of sense. So it's interesting.
I really do think I get a lot of fulfillment from helping other people.
Yeah.
That said, I have over the years refined and curated. So I bring on the kinds of clients that I think I can help the most. And I make sure to the best of my ability that I fill my own well.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, because for a while I was giving just too much and it started to make me feel burnt out a little bit. Not on people and not on giving, but not really have much left for myself. And that makes me sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to refine things. And I think it's all a process. Like I have been setting weekly creative goals and other goals for myself for 5 years now. And I have gotten so much better at being realistic about the time and energy I have in a week. But yet there are still weeks when I'll be like making my check-in list and my to-dos. And then I look at it at the end of the week and I go, how did I think I was going to physically get all this done? My tendency is to just fill to the brim, you know? And so that's where an accountability buddy or buddies comes in because I think we need someone to say, that's a lot. What's the most important thing, you know? So yeah, I do fill my well, and I've made those things habits. So
what are the things that fill you the most creatively?
One thing for me that's sort of non-negotiable is movement, exercise. If I don't move my body, I start to feel like a weird itch, and it makes I feel sad. I exercise mostly for my mental health, but I just do something almost every day. If it's the minimum is a walk or some mobility or stretching. So I do that in the morning. I set the tone of my day with time for myself. And I read. I love reading. I didn't always love reading, but I really get ideas from other people's stories. So some things I read are nonfiction or memoirs, but I also have gotten more into fiction in the more recent years. I listen to podcasts. I like stories. So I will listen to series of stories or podcasts like The Moth that have short stories. I watch documentaries a lot. I cook. I find that very nourishing, and I love spending time finding new recipes that I want to try. And most days I will cook something that's like easy and healthy and I don't have to think about it. But probably at least once a week I'm trying something new or mm-hmm. making something most people would buy at the store from scratch, you know. I have little hobbies like that. I go down little rabbit holes of weird special interests. And then I just make sure to spend time on my instruments and in making stuff. That's the other thing. I can go like 2 days without exercise before I start to go, ah. Same thing with creating. If I don't, I'll feel like something's off. I can't figure out what it is. And then if I spend time writing, I'm like, ah, how did I forget? That's what it is. I needed to make something. So I really carve out my days to make sure to do those things.
Yeah. And it sounds like a lot of inspiration from those things for songwriting.
Yeah. I want to even be better at that, like at capturing ideas. I wish I could say I had a list of like hundreds of titles. I don't. But I feel like more and more I'm on the look for ideas and just like keeping my writing ears open for what might be a cool idea or song. Yeah, I write from my own experience as well, but most of the time, if I waited for there to be an epiphany about what to write about, I never would write. So I have to start from scratch or from other people's experiences or things I observe.
Yeah, that's interesting. Where do you feel like your biggest creative blocks are now? Like that you've evolved to work through a lot of the early things with sharing and kind of vulnerability with your own experience.
Is it weird to say that I don't feel blocked?
No, that's amazing.
Yeah. I'm aware of my tendencies, right? So the parts of songwriting that feel easy to me, writing melodies, coming up with a chord progression, singing, the parts of songwriting that are hard for me are knowing what I'm going to write about, the first line of a song. Technology a little bit, but I'm moving through that. I'm an intermediate guitarist. I always want to be better at guitar. But I really have worked hard to hush my inner critic because I really am such a perfectionist. I just want to win. Like, I'm very competitive. I don't play board games with me. Mostly competitive with myself, though. So in the past, if I wasn't good at something immediately, if I didn't have the right idea immediately, I'd just get stuck. And now I allow it to be like, well, that's not the line, but it's a line. Let me move on and get something on the page. And time restrictions really help me. The more I start to feel that inner critic judging, the more I'll just be like, you have 30 minutes. You have to write something. And I'll inevitably write something, whether it's good or not, doesn't matter. It's like that I did it. What else blocks me? It's more probably with sharing my music to the world. That's my next block I got to get past.
Yeah.
And I'm working on it.
That does seem like such a challenging thing to get past. And I'm curious, in your early songwriting, how you worked past through that part of it, of releasing your music?
It was a different world, a different landscape when I released my first music.
Huh.
Because it was like the beginning of MySpace. I think the blocks were more about getting shows and like getting in front of people. But putting something out there, you didn't have the immediate feedback or dopamine hit of someone liking your video or whatever. So my advice that has been given to me is I make it and I put it out, let it be what it is. Because you can't control whether people like it or not. But you can control what you make and that you make. And I think that's the difference is like, if no one hears my songs, I'm still going to make them. I get my dopamine hit from from writing the songs now. And so that's the challenge for me is that I don't really care. On one level, when I'm in the zone, I don't really care if other people like it, if I think it's good, or I'm into what I'm making. It's only later that I'm like, I want to share this, but I don't know how to share this on the internet. And what if other people don't think it's good? That's when those thoughts start to come in. But no longer does that happen as much during the process. That used to be the huge thing.
Well, it is so interesting because you don't really have control of what happens to it once you put it out there, right? And how people interpret it.
Good or bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
During February, I was like, oh, I don't really have that many love songs, but here's a few love songs I've written. And I like posted little clips and links to them. And somebody wrote back, well, like, what about one of my songs called Make Your Move? And I was like, oh, that's a breakup song. And they were like, what? And then I went back and looked in lyrics. And I was like, I can see how Make Your Move, you thought it, like to them, it was Make Your Move to connect the person. So then that's when I was like, I shouldn't have said anything because now I've ruined it.
Decide and act. There's no time to relax. Don't you know? Don't you know? That we won't last if you won't grab your things and come home.
Just goes to show you don't know how people are going to interpret what you write.
I think it is a healthy thing to be detached to that outcome and release that control versus try to control it.
Yeah. I think I like to, if I'm happy with what I'm saying and the composition of the song and the production of the song, then I just want to put it out there.
Is there a song that you've written that you have been particularly proud of or surprised by the way it's been received?
Well, Corner, which is 15 years old now, that song has doo-doo's, la-la-las, and oohs in it. It's this like little blip of a song. So the fact that's one of my top songs that people have listened to is surprising to me. But it does have the way Sam Kassir produced it, it has a magical kind of like quality to it. So I get that you might feel something from it.
When your world trembles and quakes, and your footing suddenly shifts and shakes, take my hand, we'll hide in the corner, hide in the corner, take my hand, we'll hide till it's over.
And what about one that you're the proudest of or feel pride in?
I like all my songs.
Great answer. I love it. As you should.
That's my problem is I don't release something unless I'm like, yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. So you mentioned technology earlier, and it's so interesting with AI coming out now and all of the DAW instruments. How do you think about that as a songwriter and balancing both your need to learn how to use the tools, but then also keep working on instruments and getting better?
I wish I had access to DAWs when I was growing up and learning to create music. I think it's wonderful that so many people can create now. It's something I avoided learning for a long time because I always had access to people who are better at it than me. It really was the pandemic that forced me to learn how to record myself, but I'm so grateful that I've gotten to a point where I can record vocals here and send them to a producer somewhere else and work remotely back and forth with people. And I've been taking production lessons for about, I don't know, 15 months, something like that. And I'm getting to the point where I feel comfortable co-producing things and fleshing out my ideas. For me, there's only so much time in the day, but also only so much energy I have to focus. So I have to go in seasons where I'm more intense with one thing over the other. For example, right now I'm not in voice lessons, which even though I've been coaching voice for 20 years, you'd think, why do you need voice lessons? It's because I think everyone needs a coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, elite athletes don't stop having a coach. They just have the higher level coach.
Yeah.
So, but right now I'm in maintenance mode with my guitar and my voice. Like I do those things daily a little bit to keep up, but I'm not actively pursuing leveling up in those. It's the DAW that I'm leveling up in at the moment.
Mm.
So sometimes I'm learning about a technical thing that I have less interest in, but I know is important. And other times I just let myself play and have fun and write something. Mm-hmm. But I try to use it every day.
I feel like you're so good at staying curious versus being overwhelmed by it or afraid of it. Has that always been something in you, or is it something you've had to work at?
I think I am just a curious person. And I feel like my best quality is that I believe I can get better at things.
That's a really good quality.
So it's no matter what, I think if I try this, if I dedicate myself to this, I can get better at it. I may not be winning Grammys for producing people, but can I get good at this? Yeah, I believe that. So there is an element of that, I think, that motivates the curiosity and helps me when I get stuck. I also take breaks. I walk away. I ask for help. Mm-hmm. I look things up. I don't think I have to immediately know and understand by myself. There's certain things in the DAW that I have. Matt Cass is who I take lessons with. I feel like I've asked him the same question like 100 times. Or can you explain that again? You know, I really want to make sure I understand the fundamentals of EQ and things like that. So yeah, go get better at things. Like whatever you want to do, you can do it. I'm sure sometimes money is an obstacle. Sometimes time is an obstacle. Sometimes your natural inclination towards something is an obstacle or lack of. But if you spend time, you will see some growth and improvement.
Yeah. Well, and I think those external things are obstacles, but I feel often the biggest one is fear, and being able to always choose the curiosity really helps.
And break it down into smaller goals so that you can measure it and see that you've gotten better. Things like songwriting, that's one of the things about songwriting that's so hard, is like, how do you know you are writing better songs? What is better? It's subjective, right? So if your goal is to write 25 songs, you know whether or not you hit that goal or not. And if you write 25 songs, you're going to get better at writing songs. So my goal is just to make a lot of songs in my DAW.
And I have to say, your song Trying just embodies so much of what you're talking about.
Thank you. I love that song.
I love it too. I love it too. Such a great reminder to keep working at it.
I'm glad that you don't think that song is sad.
No, it's inspirational.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Stop adding it up. We did all that we could, left it all on the field. It doesn't always make sense who comes out ahead in the
All right. Well, I guess I'll start to wrap up a little. So for the last question, I wanted to ask, what are some of the things that you've come to believe about creativity throughout the years?
Well, I used to just believe that creativity or being good at writing songs was something you either had or you didn't have it. I don't believe that anymore. I believe it's a craft you can get better at and is a fire you can stoke. I used to believe that you had to wait for the creativity. You had to have a vision of what you wanted to make before you would make it. And now I see it more as like a slab of marble. And it's like some artists might see, yes, this is going to be the Statue of David. And then they start carving. And other artists are just start carving and then see what it's going to become. And that's how I start a lot of songs, is I don't really know what I'm writing about yet. But I just start making something. And by doing that, by sitting at my instrument and strumming, coming up with, by learning another song, by spending the time, I fuel that creativity. And then I surprise myself when I come up with something that I think is unique or individual or cool. And I think that I used to believe that there was like one space, and if I saw another artist and they filled that spot, well, then why bother trying? Because like they're the exact kind of sound I would want to have or whatever. And now I believe that there's room for everybody, and the best way to make connection is to really be your authentic self in your songs and in your production and in your singing of those songs. And you don't need everyone to love your songs. That's hard for me. That's more recent, because I really like people to like me. And I have a hard time if someone doesn't like, if someone thinks, says, has a belief about me I think isn't true, I have to work really hard to let it go. But the truth is, if that everybody likes you, you're probably not saying anything that's pushing any buttons one way or the other. So
yeah,
maybe Dolly Parton's the exception to that rule. Who doesn't like Dolly Parton?
Good point. Good point. Well, thank you so much, Allie. I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed my episode with Allie Moss. You can find Allie's music across all streaming platforms. And to learn more about her and her songwriting community, you can also check out her website, alliemoss.com, and thinkingoutsidetheblocks.com, or find either of them on Instagram. Thanks so much for listening.